I speak to the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. This gospel reading might be the only universally agreed upon reading in the church where you don't want to hear it and I don't want to preach on it. This is one of the most hard gospel readings in the entire lectionary page, and preachers will tell you it is the hardest because nobody wants to talk about this stuff. But a few years ago, I was serving at a church, and in our youth group, we had the practice of, at the beginning of the youth group year, I would ask the kids what they wanted to talk about in youth group, what they wanted to do for our youth group time. And one of the girls wrote that she wanted to talk about healthy relationships, what makes a relationship healthy, and almost more importantly, what makes a relationship unhealthy. And when I asked her, why do you want to talk about this? She said, because this is a hard thing to talk about. And if we're not going to talk about it here in church, where exactly am I going to talk about it? So, with that in mind, we're going to talk about the hard stuff in church. And this reading is hard stuff. One of the things that makes this reading so incredibly difficult is the things that we bring to it. This reading has been called what's proof texted. And proof texting is when a community or an organization looks through the entire Bible and they pick out specific words and specific phrases to make one cohesive argument. Typically, it is against a person or an idea or a group of people. And this particular reading has been proof texted in our society time and time again. And there are two specific communities who have been extremely harmed by this reading. The first is anyone who has ever had a divorce, for whatever reason. The second is the LGBT community, where people will proof text this reading and they will say, see, Jesus said a marriage is between a man and a woman. That's it. It's the end of the discussion. Which is not what Jesus said. It is not what the reading said. That shows you that it's been proof texted. This reading has also been used against women who are trying to leave a domestic violence situation to say that God has said that you are not allowed to leave and that if you do, you are the one who's in the wrong. This reading has been used in our society to harm individual people because they have taken it out of context. But when we look at the reading in its entirety and in the entirety of where it falls in the gospel readings, we see that this reading has two separate encounters. It has a first public encounter and then a private encounter. And we're going to start with the public encounter because it's what comes first in our reading. The public encounter, we are told that it's the Pharisees and they want to trap Jesus. That's word for word what it says. To test Jesus, they asked him the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus answers his question, their question, with a question, much in Jesus' form. This reading follows the exact same formula when the Pharisees try to test Jesus in other parts of the gospel readings. One of the most prominently known one is when the Pharisees come and to test Jesus, they say, is it lawful for us to pay taxes? And Jesus tells them to pull out the coin and says, whose face is on it? And they answer, Caesar. And Jesus responds with, therefore, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. That same formula is used in this reading today. The Pharisees, in order to test Jesus, ask him a hard question where there is no right answer, and they want him to be wrong. And so they ask him this question, and he asks, what does Moses command you? What does the law say? And they answer with the law. It is lawful for a man to write a certificate of a divorce, which is what Moses said. And then Jesus responds with, it is because of your hardness of heart that Moses wrote this command. So let's talk about hardness of heart for a moment. Why would it be hardness of heart to write a certificate of dismissal? To understand that, we have to understand what marriage is in Jesus's community and in the Old Testament. Jesus is referencing solely the Old Testament. The New Testament has not yet been written, so all of Jesus's references are from the Old Testament. So when people come to me and they say that they want a biblical marriage, I will be the first to tell you, you don't. A biblical marriage is not a marriage that we have today, and I assure you, you do not want one. Marriage in Jesus' time was for two reasons and two reasons only. And it depended on if you were a male or a female what your reason was. If you were a female, the reason that you got married was for protection. You had at this point become a burden to your family. It was expensive to feed you and to keep you safe. And so they married you to somebody else. And if you were a male, the reason you got married was to procreate children and further your line. In fact, when we look through the entire Old Testament and we look through the way that we translate words, we see the word that we would translate for marital love, love between two spouses, twice in the entire Old Testament, and only two times. The first time we see it is between the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. And the phrase says that Isaac loved Rebekah. It does not say that Rebekah loved Isaac. It just says that Isaac loved Rebekah. And if you remember the story of how Rebekah and Isaac got married, Isaac was ready to receive a wife, and so he sent his servant to go find a suitable wife for him. And his wife went to the town well, and he sat outside and he asked various women to pull water from the well. Rebekah was the only one who could pull water from the well, and then once the water was up, he said, "Can you please pull water for the animals?" And she was able to do it, which meant that Rebekah was strong. She was physically strong. It was demanding work to get water out of the well. So the servant decided that Rebekah was a suitable wife for Isaac because of her physical strength. And so Rebekah was taken from her family with no opportunity to consent, and she was married off to Isaac. Isaac loved Rebekah. It does not say that Rebekah loved Isaac. Rebekah was never asked if she wanted to marry Isaac. And frankly, Isaac was never asked if he wanted to marry Rebekah. They were told, "This will be the spouse that you have." The second and last time that we see the word for marital love in the Old Testament is the relationship between Ruth and Naomi, which is found in the book of Ruth. And if you remember that story, Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. And Naomi has lost her husband and her sons, and Ruth was married to one of Naomi's sons. And after the famine that has killed off the rest of their family, Ruth and Naomi go together, and they live together, and they take care of each other. Those are the two and only two times that we see the word for marital love in the entire Old Testament. So when Jesus talks about hardness of heart and he talks about writing a certificate of dismissal, we have to understand that when women were divorced, their vulnerability dramatically increased. They were at greater risk for poverty and for negative health outcomes because of that poverty, and they were at extreme risk for violence. People would often take advantage of women who were divorced. And so when Jesus says it is hardness of heart that would lead to a divorce, it's because you didn't get divorced for love or for companionship or for kindness. You got married because it was what you did to be protected and to have children. And then the second encounter we see is between the disciples and Jesus. It says, then the disciples asked him again about this matter privately. It doesn't actually say what the disciples asked, which is interesting. So we don't actually understand what the disciples wanted to know about or what they specifically asked. But then Jesus says in this particular portion that if a man leaves his wife and marries another, he commits adultery. And then the second thing, which is unique, is that Jesus says if a woman leaves her husband, she commits adultery, which is actually incredibly progressive, because in Jewish law, women were not allowed to seek a divorce. We learned that from the previous encounter with the Pharisees. Only men could write a certificate of dismissal. So in this instance, Jesus is saying that women can seek divorce, which is under Roman law, not Jewish law. So Roman women could seek a divorce at this time. Jewish women could not. So Jesus is actually being incredibly progressive here when he includes women in the divorce. But again, it comes back to the hardness of heart. Why would we seek a divorce in Jesus's time? And when we seek a divorce, what happens to the person who is left on the outside? And see, sometimes in our world now, marriage has shifted greatly. Hopefully everyone here is able to seek relationships with people that they love and not for protection or to procreate. Hopefully everyone has been able to experience that. And so marriage has shifted greatly in our society. And sometimes divorce is inevitable. Sometimes people get divorced because they grew apart. Sometimes they get divorced because something has happened. And sometimes people get divorced because there has been an irrevocable breakdown of vows. And this particular wording has been used against women in domestic violence situations, where women who have often been the victims of violence are the ones to seek the divorce. And this reading has been used to harm them, to say that if they do this, then God will be upset with them and they will be having an affair. But I think for us to understand that, we first have to understand the vows that we take in marriage today. Very different from the vows that were taken when Jesus was talking about marriage. And see, sometimes when we get to a divorce, the person who seeks the divorce is not the person who broke the vows. And we know this to be true specifically in domestic violence situations, but also in various other situations, where the person who broke the vows is the person who caused damage to the other person, who did not cherish and love and respect them the way that they vowed to do so. And so often cases, especially in domestic violence, you have women seeking the divorce, but the perpetrator of violence was the one who broke the vows, not the women. The one who broke the vows is the one who caused harm. So I think when we talk about this reading as a whole, we have to look at what it says, and almost more importantly in this reading, what it does not say. Jesus was very careful with his words. We know that because of the way that the Pharisees tried to trick him and were unable to do so. Jesus chose his words extremely carefully. And so in this reading, when it talks about divorce, it's important to note all of the things that divorce says. It's important to put that in its cultural context. And it's important to talk about what Jesus does not say about divorce. And one of the most important things that Jesus does not say about divorce is what happens to our relationship with God if we have a divorce. There is not one word about how God will view you, or God's love for you, or your relationship with God if you have ever been divorced, or if you have ever thought about a divorce. In fact, it is purposely left out. And when we take this reading in context with the entire Bible, we see evidence to exactly what will happen with our relationship with God if we seek a divorce. And I did not write the lectionary, but if they ever ask me in the future what New Testament reading should be partnered with this, I'm gonna vote for Romans 8. Romans 8 is this beautiful chapter in Romans. Everyone should read it. And it starts with the things that we think, that humans think, can separate us from the love of God. And it goes through the entire chapter to Romans 8:39, which is kind of the climactic point of all of Romans. And then it tells us what can separate us from the love of God. And I'm sure that you all know this verse well. But it says, no hardship, no trials, no persecutions, no things on earth, nor things in heaven, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I think those two readings should go hand in hand. But I think when we look at this reading about divorce, we have to look at what it doesn't say. Jesus does not make one mention of our relationship with God. And when we don't proof text this reading and we look at it in consultation with the entire Bible, we are already given the answer. There is nothing. There is no divorce. There is no hardship. There is no sin on our behalf. There is nothing in this world that can ever separate us from the love of God. Amen.